10 minutes past 6 o'clock, and after a weekend of a lot of different messages, some of them conflicting, about the government's attitude towards the Croke Park Agreement, the Taoiseach has said it will be honoured in full and will not be subject to what he called unilateral renegotiation. That doesn't mean, though, that they won't be looking to accelerate the implementation and, in his words, squeeze as much as was possible from it in terms of savings. So what remains to be squeezed? What can they get that hasn't already been got and still remain within the terms of this agreement? And how much more are the union inclined to give? Well, Philip Boucher-Hayes has been taking soundings. Philip is with me now. To remind us of an old phrase, how much has been done and how much remains to do?
A lot. They have already picked what they call most of the low-hanging fruit, Mary. The things that the unions would have been hard-pressed to make credible arguments against retaining, things like days off to go to regattas, or if you were in Kildare County Council to go to Punchestown, or Ballybrit if you were at Galway County Council. All those entitlements and privilege days and so on have gone. And there are tough fights taking place in an awful lot of other areas to achieve agreed reforms. Take, for example, a proposal which I heard about today that was quite interesting. The suggestion was made that the glass screens in false offices should be removed to give job seekers a better experience of their first step back to work. This was to come under the Pathways to Work initiative. But the CPSU opposed this idea because members were worried about their personal safety if the glass screens were taken out. Agreement couldn't be achieved. The matter was referred to the Labour Court, where it went on for quite some period of time. The government stuck to its guns, though, and recently it was announced that four offices will now be opened at the end
of
the year without
the glass
screens.
You are serious about this?
Oh, this is exactly the kind of process, due process, that an awful lot of this reform ends up going through. Some of it, in fairness to the unions, they have said, you know what, we will take the reform, that we will take the proposal, we will operate to it until such time as binding agreement has been laid down. But it doesn't happen overnight. It's very, very slow.
Now, sadly, we lost our link to Michael Noonan in Westport just as he was telling us that there were ambiguities, I think was the way he put it, in the original agreement, not spelled out. And I was about to try and go into more detail with him about what he meant. Hopefully, Fergal and our colleagues down in Mayo will get more clarity from him on that. But, Philip, what is government after? You know, even though there's to be no unilateral renegotiation, as the Taoiseach said, do they have a wish list of what they want to re-enter, renegotiate or revisit?
It will depend on what minister you're speaking to. If you had spoken to Michael Noonan, you'd get a very different answer to that, which you'd get from Rory Quinn or from James Riley, even though the Taoiseach has spoken on this and said that there is to be no renegotiation. So just take the differing perspectives. James Riley put his views on the record. Public pay has to be revisited. And he's, in spite of what the Taoiseach says, he's unlikely to change his view on that. And Rory Quinn would be of a similar but slightly more nuanced position, because he also comes from a department where 80% of his budget ends up going on payroll. He'd like pay and conditions to be on the table in any new agreement, not necessarily this one. But then, it's interesting, go and take a look at one of the other big spending departments, social protection. Payroll is a very small part of Joan Burton's budget, about €600 million out of €21 billion. And she's by and large happy with the reforms and the efficiencies that she is achieving within the terms of Croke Park. Civil servants, public servants have been moved where they're needed to. There's been automation and centralising of certain payments like rent supplements, back to school payments and so on. It has forced changed working practices, but it has achieved savings, modest enough savings. I mean, I think the back to school payment automation and centralisation achieved an actual cash saving of €1 million. But the redeployment of all those staff to the control and fraud section of the department will achieve further savings. So, overall, it's a very mixed picture. In some departments, Croke Park is viewed as an impediment to change. In others, it's facilitating the kind of change that's needed.
Some backup today, though, for the renegotiate lobby from the IMF in that, what they call this Article 4 document, where they say public service pay may have to be looked at if frontline services are starting to be affected, to try and get the cuts that
And as Michael Noonan said to you, that is an advisory document in nature, and that they also recommend a 0.5% property tax, which he has just completely dismissed.
He didn't tell us, though, what the percentage will be. Now, let's look at other areas. Pensions, increments, pay, productivity. Could they all be revisited?
Well, core pay can't be touched. It's not going to be touched. In increments as well, although some would say it's a separate battle altogether because nobody has actually earned that money yet, those future increments. But the unions would appear to have won that battle as well. It's considered a part of core pay. It's not going to be touched. Productivity, well, you heard the Taoiseach say it himself. If he's to be taken at face value, you can expect a speeding up of that reform process. Pensions, this is, I think, the interesting area. Talking to a number of union officials off record today, none of them disputed the unsustainability of the public pension payments into the future.
Also in the IMF document.
Yeah, and it's not going to be unpicked now, this year, before this budget, but they appeared to acknowledge, in principle anyway, that it should be on the table for a successor deal.
Let's look at the implications or possible implications there may be from a decision in the Labour Court today we spoke to Ingrid Miley about earlier. You might spell it out to us again. It's about the standardisation of working hours for local authority workers.
At face value, you would have to assume that there are huge implications that arise from this decision today. Local authority employees in some councils were working a 33-hour week, where a 39-hour week had been standardised for their outdoor colleagues. A 35-hour week had been standardised for everybody else. Managers wanted to standardise that across all local authorities, but the unions made the argument that an increase in hours is equivalent to a pay cut. Core pay is protected under Croke Park, therefore you can't enforce that. But the Labour Court found today in favour of the County Council managers. So the big question is if under the Croke Park deal those hours can be standardised within any given grade and where else this might be applied. Now, I talked to a number of different government programme managers and advisers this afternoon, and none of them would confirm that they knew that this was going to have application in their departments, but they didn't discourage me from speculating that it is very likely to. I'll give you one example of somewhere where it could actually end up having a knock-on effect. That would be in within the health service. The therapist grades are probably going to feel under increased pressure to change work practices. It would be these would be the grades that what one person described to me as nice middle-class ladies within the Impact Union, physiotherapists, speech therapists, radiographers, people who by and large seem to be working.
I hear the Twitter and tweet heating up already.
Not my phrase, it was somebody else's. I'm just reporting the view from behind closed doors within government. That these people work to somewhere between a 31 and 33 hour week where everybody else is working a 38 or 39 hour week. So obviously there is a case to be made that if this principle is to be applied to local authority workers, why should it not also be applied to this grade? And the savings there would be really quite considerable.
And nurses already work, I think Ingrid told us, a 39 hour week.
Yes, absolutely correct.
It was observed today not all managers in the public service are getting the most out of the current deal. Have you got any examples of that?
There were flexibility provisions that were introduced under Croke Park which allowed for public servants to be transferred up to 45 kilometres away from where they're currently employed or where they live. Now, the government feels that there's huge scope for savings within the local authorities in this matter, but there are managers that are just not acting on it. One example was given to me of where 2 days cover was needed in Dundalk for a post which was currently overfilled just down the road in Drogheda. Now, any one of those public servants could have been required to just hop in their car, go up, spend those 2 days in Dundalk, but the post...
What would it take you? 20 minutes?
On the motorway, I would have thought even less. But the post went unfilled because the relevant manager didn't push the issue. Now, as unreasonable as that sound, the flip side of it is, as the CPSU have pointed out, that there are Department of Agriculture officials who are being moved from Rathaw to Buncrana, effectively from one end of Donegal to another. The additional fuel costs there, the union maintained, would amount to about €100 a week. And if you were on €450 or €500 a week, that was an intolerable burden. So again, you can see where the difficulties come in actually achieving these efficiencies.
Is there a grade of public servant who has given less than more?
Less than everybody else. It is... I'm sorry I'm going to end up picking this one up, but it's going to be balanced by what I say later. Because I found out today that it is a source of aggravation amongst many that the teachers have given very little. So far under Croke Park, they have ceded a notional extra hour a week in which they'd be available.
In this studio, Sheila Noonan some time ago told us that they have fulfilled, and this is the INTO, I remember her saying, they had fulfilled all their obligations under Croke Park.
Which, as I understand it, is this. But wait a minute, just let me get to the end of this line of thought. This extra hour a week is what they had agreed to, in which they're going to be available for cover teaching or supervision, but only if required. So it's not actually an hour that they deliver on. It's seen by other unions perhaps as a useful benchmark for what they might have to concede, or on the other hand, a convenient suggestion that the government go after teachers for more before looking to their grade for further concessions. But the difficulty, and I think this might be the point that Sheila Noonan would also, and others in the ASTI and TUI would make, that teachers officially and formally give much more than what is already laid down in their contract. So if you try and wring more hours or more concessions out of the teachers, you could well find the unions saying, oh yeah, okay, fine, we'll give you an extra hour or 2 hours teaching a week, a day. But we're going to work to rule on all of the other stuff that you're getting free, gratis and for nothing at the moment. So overall, without just singling out teachers, you get the impression, calling around a range of government departments and unions, that Croke Park is delivering some savings, but they are increasingly hard fought and they're not going to come at a pace that's going to make any difference to this year's budget.
And what you were talking about there in relation to the teachers, this is that whole question of goodwill. Goodwill operates in most organisations. The trouble is, if somebody starts crunching the numbers, the goodwill tends to go out the window.
You can't bring goodwill to the bank, Mary.
Philip Boucher-Hayes, thank you very much. 22 minutes past 6 o'clock.